It is Thursday, August 26, 2010. I'm Bill, and this is Where Icarus Flies. Well, it has been quite some time since I've been on the air. My last podcast was posted in March, and here we are at the very tail end of August. I have been unemployed for just about a year now, and that has taken its toll. So I want to talk about that in my first segment. So I'm not going to get into that just yet. But I'm back. Joey, God bless him. I thought Joey was going to kick my butt if we did not get back on the air. He's a good buddy of mine, not Mr. Tech Savvy. Since I kind of took a break from this stuff, he has, gone a different direction. But he will be back in the studio again later today with me to give the long-awaited first Hoover Report of the summer as the summer comes to a close. So stick with me. And let's get to what's on tap here at Where Icarus Flies. Here's what we have on tap this month at Where Icarus Flies. I want to talk about being unemployed, my journey, what I've been doing, what I've tried, the things and the emotions that kind of overwhelmed me. So I do want to talk about that. I also want to talk this week about Google. Has Google lost its mojo? I mean, they are a major player. They are huge. But I also personally think they've made some significant blunders of late. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I also want to talk about one of my new favorite shows, the new Doctor Who. Yeah, Doctor Who's been on for, forever, right? It's been on since the 60s or some such nonsense. And it's gone through a few reincarnations. I want to talk specifically about this past season and the new generation of Doctor Who versus the old. So I want to get into that a little bit. Then Joey Hoover is going to be back in the house for this week's Hoover Report. That is going to be some good stuff right there. And to close out the show, I have a very special Masterworks Theater. Could be a little embarrassing, but I'm going to, I want to try it. I know a lot of times I do some poetry and other things. I started playing the guitar the beginning of the year, back at the beginning of January, the last few days of December. I'm still not great, but I want to try something out. I want to play a song, right? And that's the show. That's what we have on tap here at Where Icarus Flies this week. So I have been unemployed for just about a year now, as I mentioned at the top of the show. I was laid off from my job at Juniper Networks, where I had worked for 5 years. And that's not the first time I had been laid off. I had been laid off from my previous job before I got to Juniper. Getting laid off stinks, right? Having that conversation. I loved my time at Juniper. I met a lot of great folks. I've had a lot of great experiences. I got a lot of knowledge and information from my time there. So it's not the leaving the job, for me, that was the big problem. I mean, yeah, there was a reduction in force, and I was hoping that they'd pick someone, not me, to be part of that reduction, right? But, you know, that happens. And there's been two other times in my life where I've had to really look for a job that I've been out of work. Both of those times did not last too long. One was only like 3 months, and another time was 5 months. And the 5 months was getting hairy. But, you know, that's actually when Juniper and I met up with one another. And it wasn't that bad for me. I mean, it was getting kind of, you know, what's going to happen? I need something to come up here. But 5 months for me personally, that first time wasn't horrendous. You know, it took its toll on our family finances, that's for sure. Well, fast forward to the end of last August is really when I got my layoff notice. And my last day at Juniper was in the beginning of September of last year. Now, getting laid off in September, you know, there's that first shock of getting laid off. And then, you know, the holidays roll in. We had October, we had Halloween, which, if you listen to my broadcasts last year, is really my favorite holiday. I mean, of course, Christmas, but Halloween has a special place if you listen to my last October's podcast. Then we have Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and relatives are in town, and the holiday festivities. So I didn't sabotage my job hunt. I certainly still looked for work. In fact, I had some interviews in that time. There also wasn't a lot going on in the job market right there. My main skills are probably in education, training, motivation, speaking, that kind of thing. I'm very good with technology, and lots of other stuff. I'm not going to give out my resume here. but there weren't a lot of jobs. I had been managing corporate training teams for the past decade. There wasn't a lot out there in that, you know, in the end of 2009 for that. So I wasn't that worried, right? I got to have the holidays off and spend it with my kids and my family and all that sort of great stuff. And that was quite wonderful. And then after New Year's, things kind of kick in, right? January, all right, we're back in Q1 now. Things started picking up a little in February and March. You know, in the meantime, you know, being on unemployment, it's really, I mean, it's better than $0, don't get me wrong, but it's really not that much money. I mean, if all I had was unemployment, we would have lost the house. Luckily, you know, my wife went back to work a few years ago. So we do have that second income. It's not a great second income. She's just a public school teacher. She started off last year at 60% by doing a job share. It was the only way she could actually keep a job. She was moved up to about 80% salary because she got an extra day about halfway through the year, a little before halfway through the year. So that helped out a little bit. You know, unemployment, gosh, my experience with California unemployment is that, you know, they're not bad folks at all. And I'm sure they have gazillions of people they need to help. There's no caring in the system when you have to talk to anybody. They really don't give a crap about you. And my experience is that they, not the people themselves, but the unemployment program every few months does like to mess with you. and they kind of look for reasons not to give you money. Yeah, they really look hard for reasons to dock you. So you have to be very careful with them. And be very upfront and honest, of course, as well, because it's not worth it. If you get caught messing around, you're done. You're done. You're in a world of hurt. So it's not worth it. My advice to anyone on unemployment, especially here in California, be upfront, be honest, get your forms in on time, or you're just in a hurtful place. So anyway, so that's going on. I lost track. I used to keep a very diligent notebook of all of the jobs that I applied for, the company they were with, the date I applied. At any given moment, unemployment can ask you for that information, so I was trying to be good at it. After a while, I just stopped. I mean, I could look up, you know, on the web and such, you know, the places I've applied to and when, but I don't have that diligent little notebook at all times any longer, because it just got depressing. There had to be over, I lost count, there has to be over 60, 80 jobs that I've applied for in the last year, probably more than that. I mean, I could be closer to 200, to be quite honest. My advice for those hiring folks, you know, I was a hiring manager for many, many years. I at least tried. I prided myself on my ability to contact folks back, because I lost count of how many jobs I applied for and either got some initial email or even had, you know, I've had plenty of phone screens. I've even had some interviews. I mean, more than a few interviews. And when the person on the other end, that whether they're from HR, that hiring manager, they don't get back to you, even give me that, you know, that generic, you know, BS of, you know, oh, the hiring team decided to go in a different direction. Oh, you're not what we're looking for at this time, right? I mean, you could probably create easily 10 pat little answers to send back to someone that basically says, no, thank you, we're moving on. And you don't have to get into any legal issues of telling them why, right? I just want to know. I really just want to know. Are we done here? Am I wasting my time trying to contact you continuously? Just let me know so I can move on. And that takes its toll on you. You know, I apply. I know there's a lot of people out of work. I am, you know, cry me a river, my mom used to say, you know, for things like this. And I know I'm not the only one out of work. And there are millions of people in worse shape than my family is right now. But that being said, it takes its toll. There are so many jobs out there that I look at my resume, my experience, I am exactly what they're looking for. And you don't hear back. Don't even get a phone screen. And between that and people not answering you back and the length of time being out of work, it really takes its toll on you mentally, physically. There was a while there that I didn't care about anything. You know, I stopped doing the podcast, whatever. I didn't work on my blog. You know, I'm not, anyone who knows me will tell you this, I am not very good at calling people back normally. And mostly because I don't know, I've always had this thing about voicemail. I tend to not even listen to voicemail. So it's not that I ignored your message. I heard it and ignored it. I just didn't listen to it. In any case, that's a topic for some other psychiatrist. I'm not good anyway, but during, you know, there was about a 4 or 5 month period there that, you know, I didn't care about calling people back. I wasn't on email. I mean, I was pretty good with Twitter and Facebook, and I'll email you back if you email me. I'm pretty decent at email. Nothing. I didn't care about any of that crap. You know, so I was pretty depressed. You know, not enough that I think I needed kind of medication or any kind of that, but, just not feeling good. My self-esteem was in the toilet, and it was hard. It was very hard. So now, you know, I totally understand what a lengthy unemployment will do to a person. Thank God that my family was pretty good with our finances. While I still had a job, I am no financial wizard at all. In fact, whatever the opposite of financial wizard would be, that's really me. Maybe a financial slug. But thank goodness that, we've been able to weather this storm between my wife's income and unemployment, and, you know, financially how we had ourselves set up. It's been a year now, and I won't say we're doing okay. We're not doing well, not at all. And, you know, things could get worse quickly. But we're persevering. I'm out of my funk. And I'll tell you, for me, it's working with kids. I love working with kids. I'm very involved in the Cub Scouts. I coach baseball, and, you know, I really enjoyed being able to help out in the classroom when I could this past year with my two boys, as well as, you know, chaperone field trips and such. It was very therapeutic for me. And, you know, in the last, month, I really come out of that funk and I feel re-energized. And I really owe that to, you know, my kids and, you know, the Scouts. And I don't know, my wife said to me, we had this family camp. I'm the Cub Master of my local Cub Scout pack. And we went our yearly family camp trip, 3-4 weeks ago. And my wife said, you know, this is the happiest I've seen you in, I can't remember how long. And I hadn't even noticed any change in my behavior, but, you know, then I thought about it. You know, and thank goodness for my wife and the support she's given me. She has been, you know, quite wonderful. And I know something better is around the corner. So this isn't a pity party, and hopefully it didn't sound like one. I wanted to share my experiences, though, so there's a reason that I'm unemployed this long. And no, it's not because I'm no good at what I do. There's a reason that I've had to go through this experience. I don't know what it is, but one day I'll be able to channel everything I've learned from this for some greater good. I do believe that kind of thing. So I'm still out of work. I have some new ideas and plans, and I know something's around the corner there. So that's my experience right there. It's that emotional drain is greater than anything than I thought it would be. So my advice, if I can give some, would be to find that thing or those things that you really love if you're unemployed for an extended period of time, and concentrate on those for a little while. Get your mind off of the job search from time to time. It's hard, right, with finances crumbling around you and such. But you have to find that something. You have to find that person you can talk to, that thing you can use as an outlet, something to make you happy and get yourself out of that funk that it all creates for you. Myself, I am now re-energized for the end of 2010. Quite honestly, I would be more than happy to be a stay-at-home dad if we could financially make it. I would not have a problem with that at all. In fact, I have not been an awesome stay-at-home dad this past year because of the whole job search thing. You know, I mean, that eats up a lot of my morning and you know, like I said, that whole depression I was in. Without that, I think I'd kick some butt as stay-at-home dad. And, you know, this has been hard on my kids. They don't really understand it, my two boys, that financially we can't do the things they're used to, right? We can't go out to eat very often. In fact, we haven't been out to eat as a family in quite some time. You know, you can't do a lot of the things you used to do and buy a lot of the things you used to buy. And, you know, that's hard for the little guys. It's hard for us, the adults, but it's even harder for the kids because they don't quite understand the situation you're in. But everything gets better, and everything will. And I know it's right around the corner. If you're listening to this and you have been out of work for a while, I would love to hear your experiences. I would love to hear how you dealt with the emotional toll. The physical toll I mentioned, I mean, I ate like crap. I gained, you know, 10, 20 pounds that I wish I didn't have any longer. So the last 2 weeks I've been running, I've been eating well, and I think I've already lost some poundage, and I'll get back to my fighting weight soon enough. So there is hope. So I would love to hear how you conquered not only finding a new job, but I'd love to hear how you conquered the negativity, the self-worth that you had just plummeting. So send all that to feedback@whereicarusflies.com, because I'd love to read that, whether I publish it on the site or not. It's up to you. You can tell me if I can or cannot, but I'd love to read it regardless. All right, that's my story. Time to move on, but thanks for hearing me out. Something else I want to talk about today is Google. Has Google lost its mojo? I mean, 10, 15 years ago, Google was certainly the company we all loved to love, right? It was the upstart. It was something better than, you know, what do we have? Things like the classic AltaVista, Lycos. By the way, did you see that company tumbled from being worth $12 billion, you know, not that long ago, to just being bought for $36 million or somewhere thereabouts. But my big question, who the hell would pay $36 million for Lycos? In any case, Google was, you know, cool. Everybody loved Google. Now, you know, they suffer the same thing as most large, successful organizations. You know, organizations like AT&T, IBM, Microsoft, the New England Patriots. Like how they shoved that in there? They get the New York Yankees. They get large, they get successful, and now everyone wants to hate them. Google isn't just large and successful, however. Google is, you know, the next generation's Microsoft, where Microsoft seems to have tamed it, so to speak. They've kind of taken it down a few notches. It's Google that seems like they want to own everything in the world and run everything in the world, and they are well on their way to doing that as well. I mean, they've got everything from dreaming up creating their own power plants to have their own power grids to, you know, all kinds of things. But what have they done lately? I mean, they've made some blunders on censoring and very public international issues like China and whatnot. I'm talking about a couple of little things and a couple of bigger things, right? I mean, we could talk about the big Google, Verizon, let's create a private you know, internet that's pay and that's better and whatnot. And, you know, certainly if something like that were to exist, then, you know, what would stop companies from saying, why would I bother investing any development on the free side of life and let's go to the paid internet, right? Well, as much as I would hate to see that happen, how many folks said, I would never pay for TV, I would never pay for radio? Now look at us, right? So yeah, we could talk about that. I don't think that's the right move for Google, but I'm talking about little things where Google was very much like Apple in the sense that it really tried to design things to work well. Apple tries to design things to work well and look very elegant. Google, the look and feel wasn't always elegant, but it always worked for them pretty much well. I mean, what about Google Buzz, Google Wave? Those both were going to be the next big thing. Now they're both down the toilet. How about the change in some basic things like Google Image Search? This is an area where I think that Google is too Web 2.0 here. It tried to get too cool for its own good. The image search results are displayed not very well any longer, right? Things like image size isn't shown by default. Yeah, you can make it come up and work. The thing that really bothers me is when you actually click on an image from Google Image Search and it pops up in one of those cool Web 2.0, you know, pop-up frames. And then, you know, I don't know about you, but there's been at least half a dozen times in the last 2 weeks where I've tried to find an image. I found the image, that little box pops up, I fight with the box, and then I finally go to get the image itself, and it's actually pointing at a different image. So the image that pops up in the box, I can't actually get. It's really annoying. And I'll be honest, when I go to look for images now, I go to Yahoo. I tried Bing. Bing works okay too. But, you know, I'm back to Yahoo for my image search. Google News, which I loved. You know, it was not the world's best looking and best set up page. I mean, it was just kind of news puked on, you know, a web page from all over the world and country. And maybe I'm just not used to it, but I do not like the new Google News changes, the changes on that screen. I think it's much harder to read, much harder to find the information you're looking for, even with the overwhelming amount of information they had. I thought they had, you know, a halfway decent design for that. So I think that's a huge fail. So I think Google is one of those companies. Are they going to go the way of Yahoo? I mean, it's hard to say that now, right? Because they're huge. They're massive, and they have their tendrils everywhere. But are they a multi-generational company? Are they a company that my kids and their kids will be talking about? I don't know. With the choices they've been making, I'll be surprised. So we'll keep our eye out on Google and see what kind of blunders they have up their sleeves next. If you'd like to weigh in on this, send your comments to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. I want to spend some time now talking about a new/old obsession that I have, and it's with the television show Doctor Who. For those of you who are unfamiliar with The Good Doctor, Doctor Who is a British science fiction television program. It's produced by the BBC, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think anything on television in England is produced by the BBC. But you can catch it here if your cable or satellite provider lets you watch BBC America. I like downloading it off of the interwebs. What I found is annoying is that the show lengths here in the United States are different from the show lengths in England, you know, because of different, you know, the amount of time you have for commercials and such. So there's actually more time on English television in an hour-long show. I don't remember exactly down to the minute, but it's probably closer to 50-ish minutes or more. When here in the United States, it's somewhere between 43 and 45. So there's a good extra 5 to 7 minutes if you can download it from a site that has the full capture from BBC in England. And I've watched the show on both BBC America and from the interwebs, and it's amazing. It's unfortunate some of the parts they choose to cut because it's really meaningful to the show. But in any case, this program, this science fiction show, depicts the adventures of this mysterious and eccentric humanoid called the Doctor. Now, he's not human. He looks human, but he is a race called the Time Lords, who have mastered all space and time. And I'm not going to go into the whole history of this thing, because that would be probably 3 or 4 shows all on their own. This is a show that began in November of 1963. The Guinness Book of World Records has Doctor Who as the longest running science fiction show of all time. When it first started back in the 60s, every week was a different episode of a serial. Right, almost like a chapter, if you would, right? And a serial had its own plot, and it wasn't just one episode like we have today for most things. I mean, a lot of the shows we watch today have running plot lines, but the story arc here lasted anywhere between 3 and 6 episodes, and all bundled together, they called that a serial. There have been 11 different actors that have portrayed Doctor Who on the official television series. Now, this is really interesting. So when the Doctor dies, Time Lords have this ability to regenerate, and they come back in a different form. So far, it's always been the same male humanoid form. I always thought that was kind of interesting. So when the actor gets too tired to play the Doctor, instead of having to worry about a new actor, like, you know, or ignoring it like they do in James Bond, which is the smart thing to do for James Bond, they have this whole regeneration thing going on. Now, back when I was a young lad and watched the show, back in the late 70s, early 80s, my Doctor was an actor called Tom Baker. Tom Baker was the 4th incarnation of the Doctor. And for me, he's my Doctor. When I think of Doctor Who, he is the Doctor that I always think of, because that was my first Doctor. And that's, you know, has been my favorite Doctor. Now, Tom Baker is, you know, ranked by most Doctor Who aficionados as the best Doctor Who of all time. Up until this new refresh of the series that happened back in 2005. Now, this is a cheesy show. The scripts, in my personal opinion, they're not award-winning writing here for Doctor Who. The acting, a lot of times, is suspect. I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I happen to think that some Star Trek episodes that have been written have been some of the best science fiction that has ever been written. I think that the updated Battlestar Galactica series on Sci-Fi that was on for a bunch of years not long ago happened to be some excellent, excellent writing. You know, Doctor Who, I know that folks will want to argue with me on this, not world-class writing here. Episode to episode, there's been a lot of guest writers. Like, I know folks like Neil Gaiman have helped write Doctor Who scripts, but at the same time, that's part of Doctor Who's charm. There's a campiness, yet it's very engaging. Now, the show had a rough run in the 90s, and it eventually petered out in the mid to late 90s. I think it was around 96 or somewhere there. And everyone pretty much thought Doctor Who was likely done. I mean, there was always that hope that it would come back. And I'm sure the folks that own Doctor Who always thought to themselves, no, no, this is just a hiatus. Well, back in the summer of 2005, the BBC relaunched Doctor Who. It's not really a reboot, a refresh. Gosh, you know, Hollywood has kind of killed those terms of late. It definitely was a re-energizing of the show. And an actor named Christopher Eccleston became the ninth Doctor. Now, he was only around for a season, and I have yet to actually watch a show with Christopher. The 10th Doctor was played by an actor named David Tennant. And David Tennant, by most Doctor Who authorities, has been ranked as the best Doctor of all time, ousting perennial favorite Tom Baker, you know, my guy from way back when. Now, I have watched... Well, let me back up. So David Tennant took over... and played the Doctor up through 2009. So it was what, right around 2000? So he did it for about three seasons. I have watched about 50 to 60% of those three seasons, and I've got to tell you, I think David Tennant is excellent. He is quite wonderful. I'm not fond of the 10th Doctor's companion. So Doctor Who always gathers a companion or companions to travel with him around his adventures through time and space. And I did not care for pretty much any of the companions they stuck with David Tennant. What's interesting is one of his former companions now has a show on Showtime, Diaries, Secret Diaries of a Call Girl or something like that. In any case, along comes Matt Smith, an actor who plays the 11th Doctor. And when did he start? Beginning of this year, January of 2010, I believe, is when the new season came out. And that's when I started watching, and I hadn't watched any of the David Tennant years or the others since the refresh. In fact, I really hadn't watched maybe four or five episodes of any Doctor Who at all since probably the late 80s. I saw some previews when it was first coming back. I wasn't that impressed. But I started watching it because there was some good buzz around this actor, Matt Smith, becoming the 11th Doctor. So I started watching this show, and I tell you what, it is stellar. Matt Smith, forget David Tennant, forget Tom Baker, forget whoever else your favorite Doctor is. Matt Smith, hands down, is the best Doctor Who of all time. His acting ability, his timing, the character that he created, every Doctor, although it's the same Doctor, right? This Doctor Who is the same guy. I mean, Who isn't really his name. He just calls himself the Doctor. So the Doctor is the same Time Lord. This is just his 11th incarnation. And every incarnation has, a little bit different personality, something different about them. Not just the way they look, but the way they act and perceive the world and interact with those around them. And Matt Smith is a genius. The show, I think, is pretty well written for Doctor Who. This last season, his first season, I like Amy Pond, who happens to be the current Doctor's companion. A character played by the actress Karen Gillian. She is quite wonderful. They travel around the universe and through time in his spaceship / time machine called the TARDIS, which its external form looks like an old police call box in England from, way back when. But Matt Smith is wonderful. Karen is wonderful. The show is definitely worth watching. It's engaging. It's compelling. It has that, it still keeps that Doctor Who kind of campiness. A lot of the aliens and other characters they run into still look and feel the same as they did back when they were created in the 60s. I mean, they've been updated a little bit, but the Doctor Who folks kind of pride themselves on having the look and feel look dated. At the same time, it also does look modern. So it does have that dual kind of look and feel. Dated yet modern. How can that be, right? It's a wonderful show. It is well worth your time. I would check it out. You can download it from iTunes. You could probably find it someplace else on those interwebs. Or you can watch it on BBC America. The current season ended, and I don't know when the new season starts. I haven't looked it up. I would imagine, you know, sometime in the fall. I don't think they wait till January again. But they only run about 13 or 14 shows in a season nowadays for Doctor Who, which is kind of chintzy. I wish there'd be another 10 shows in a season. There's been some rumors that because Matt Smith, who is fairly unknown outside of theater and such in the UK, he had done some television and movie work locally there, but he really hit it big with Doctor Who, and everyone is so just amazed at how great of an actor he is. There's rumors that he might be leaving the show, but so far he said, no, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm coming back for the next season. I can't talk about years in advance, but I'll be back next season. So, Doctor Who, BBC America, Matt Smith, worth your time and effort. It's now time for that part of the show that many of you wait for all week. It's time for Joey Hoover. Hey!
Hey, Joey! Joey, come on in here!
Hey, what up? Hey, it's been so long.
Yeah, I know. It's great to have you back, pal.
Ah, thank you. Well, it's great to be back.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, so what? You been off the air that long? You can't remember your thing? Come on, do your thing.
Oh, my thing.
Yeah, the Joey Hoover thing. You know I love that.
Okay. All right. Without further ado, I give you... Joey Hoover.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the e-ticket right there.
Thank you.
Well, it has been far too long for the Hoover Report to be off the air.
Well, you know, you could record your own podcast.
Oh, come on. You know the techno trickery that you do. That voodoo that you do there. That's not me. Come on, you know, I just come, I sit in front here, I talk, and you take care of all that other stuff.
All right, well, get to it, man.
All right. So to remind you listeners who probably have not been here in a while, I'd like to talk about things out there in society, sports, current events, celebrities, and I tell you about the things that suck. All right, I'll start here with a couple of sports things. Come on, San Jose Sharks.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't pull it through this year? I know this happened a while ago, but I wasn't on the air. San Jose Sharks, you suck.
Oh, man.
Your Boston Red Sox.
Ooh, what about
only in third place. Yeah. Third place with a wild card as well.
Oh, that's awful.
Come on, the Yankees back at the top. Who's not sick of this stuff, huh? Red Sox, come on, pick it up. Because right now, you suck.
You better believe it.
All right, you know Glenn Beck?
Yeah, sure, of course.
The Beck.
Yeah, Glenn Beck.
Not the rock guy.
No, I know. The political guy.
Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Yeah, well, all right. Oh, God.
What the heck is wrong with you?
Yeah, well, I just want to make sure you knew where he was. Come on.
All right, fine.
So, anyway, this guy, Glenn Beck, no relation to the beer, by the way,
it's
which would have been, you know, kind of cool.
All right.
Anyway, He wants to restore honor to America. He's had a radio show. He's on TV now.
For a while, a few years now.
And, you know, he just, you know, you listen to this guy, and he's in with all the wackos and the crazies, and really gives the conservatives a bad name. And, you know, I just think that guy, his revisionist history going on there, Glenn Beck, you suck. All right, how about Stephen Slater?
Stephen Slater. No, who's that?
Oh, I finally get you with one, huh? No Stephen Slater.
All right, fine. So who is he?
He is the JetBlue guy.
Of course, yeah, the flight attendant.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand it. He's, you know, people talking about him like he's some kind of folk hero.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You know, he got abused by a customer, which is not cool at all. And what does he do? He gets on the PA system, yells out some swears, steals some beer, jumps out the escape hatch, violating numerous laws and safety hazards. This guy, you know, he's someone I gotta look up to? Come on. Personally, Stephen Slater? You suck.
Oh, come on. That's harsh. Guy got abused.
Oh,
man.
Too bad. What did your mom used to say to us, huh? Cry me a river.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Go ahead. Go on.
All right. I will. So, California lawmakers.
Yeah.
You know, they got all sorts of things to worry about, right? With the, you know, budget and jobs and education in the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
No, no. This is what they worry about.
Oh, God. What?
California lawmakers are considering a bill that would make a crashing celebrity-filled events a crime. Punishable by up to 6 months in jail.
Oh, you gotta be kidding
me. You know, this is targeting those folks that sneak into the Oscars and such, huh?
That's outrageous with all the things we have to worry
about in this state. So, you know, California lawmakers there, you suck.
It really makes me ill.
All right, the FBI. You know them, right, Mr. Hotshot? I know everything,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know them.
FBI?
Yes, I got it.
Federal Bureau of Investigation?
All right, now you're just taunting
me. All right, God. Can't even take a little ribbon there. All right, anyway. So the FBI sends a letter to Wikipedia saying you need to take down... You know, they had a picture of the FBI seal, the emblem there, on the website, on an article, talking about, you know, the FBI.
You're kidding me.
No, not at all.
What? Why?
Well, they said that they did not give Wikipedia permission to use their high-quality graphics or some such nonsense,
right? Give me a break.
So, come on. You got nothing better to do over there at the FBI?
Seriously.
These are the bad guys you're going after? Wikipedia? Come on. Whoever came up with this at the FBI, you suck.
Totally.
All right, I got a couple more, right?
Jeez, it's a long Hoover report.
Hey, what? Come on, I haven't done this in a while. Give me some slack there.
All right, I know. All right, go ahead. No, not a problem.
All right, thank you. So, Justin Bieber.
You know, what about him?
He's a hot throb there. Little girls love him.
Yes, yes.
So, you know this guy, right?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
All right, well, he got mad at another kid that was messing around with him or some such nonsense, you know. In the days of you wrote something bad about me in the bathroom, well, that doesn't happen anymore, right?
Right.
So this kid defaced a web page of his friend, or I don't know what happened, right? Kids fighting.
Nice
over
fact
stuff.
Checking.
So Justin Bieber uses the Twitter.
The Twitter.
What? Hey, come on. Give me a break. Anyway, he uses that and sends out this kid's, you know, iPhone number.
Oh, yeah, I read
and
about
now,
that.
You know, the kid gets bombarded with phone calls and texts. And
basically,
his number's now useless because
totally.
Justin Bieber has like 4 million people following him. I mean, a good prank is one thing there, but come on, man, you just ruined that kid's number. I think that sucks.
You gotta be careful. You'll have 4 million haters on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know. All right, to close it out there, Meg Whitman running for California governor.
Yeah,
I am not a big fan of Meg Whitman. I am not a big fan of Jerry Brown either. You know, we got two folks to pick from here. But I am certainly not a fan of negativity. And
why? Says the guy who tells us what sucks. You're not a fan of negativity. All right. No. Go ahead.
No, all right. I see your point there. Well taken. Well played, sir. Anyway, you know, you watch these ads from her. She's gone straight to negative.
Oh, totally.
You know, her campaign started this website, jerryfails.com. Come on, I'm tired of negative advertising in the political arena. Oh. How about that? So, you know, Meg Whitman and your campaign, you suck.
All right.
And that is the Hoover Report for this week.
All right.
It is great to be back.
Yes,
you better be doing this again next week, or I'm going to have to kick your butt.
All right.
But right now, I got places to be. So I will see you later. All right, man?
All right. It was great having you back, man.
All right, man.
Take it easy, okay?
Yeah. See ya.
All right. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, was Joey Hoover. It is now time for Masterworks Theater. I want to do something a little different this week. I have a guitar. And I got this guitar, actually my mom got it for me almost 20 years ago. And I have played with it, you know, plucked with it over the years a little bit, but really nothing serious at all. And I haven't touched it in easily 10 years. Well, this last Christmas, my brother-in-law Jonah was here, and he restrung it for me, which, you know, was a Christmas miracle, because I never would have done it. And he got it back into great condition, great shape. And I've been messing around ever since. I'm nothing great. I will be the first to admit that. But I think I've gotten to a place where I'd like to try it out here on the show, play you a song, and I'll be able to look back on this, you know, a while from now and say to myself, you know, what the hell was I thinking? Why did I sound awful? But anyway, I'm going to try it out. I don't know. You can send me your feedback. Let me know if it was any good. And it's okay. I know it's not going to be great. But I have a song. One of the songs that I like to play is A Wonderful World. So here is my rendition of It's a Wonderful World.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for joining me. I had a lot of fun. It's great to be back on the air. I got a few emails. What happened to that Where If a Week? You know, that just didn't happen. That was back when I wasn't feeling good about myself. I tried to kickstart things, so we'll see what tricks I have up in store here. The website's back. If you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter at Where If. And you can take a look at the website, www.whereicarusflies.com. I got a blog post up about my review of Five Guys Burgers and Fries. I will have a podcast dedicated to the best burgers around. Don't you worry. That will happen. For my pal Joey, this has been Bill. Thank you for joining us. Where Icarus Flies. WhereIcarusFlies.com provides this podcast for your personal enjoyment, information, education, and communication. This podcast is copyright 2010 by WhereIcarusFlies.com. You may not distribute, modify, transmit, reuse, repost, or use the content of this podcast for commercial purposes without the express written permission of WhereIcarusFlies.com. Requests for permission to republish or to copy and distribute can be obtained by sending an email to media@whereicarusflies.com. Thank you. Have a great day.